Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Having faith and living by faith is not just something that you ascribe to on Sunday morning or when you go to church. It's a way of living. That's 24/7. It's a way of being. A faith person, when people say, well, what faith are you? They're talking about denominational affiliation, that kind of thing. And there are a lot of people who would tell you, I'm, you know, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever the case might be, but not all of these folks are even born again. It doesn't matter what church you grew up around, that doesn't automatically save you. Jesus said to a very religious man, Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You've got to be born from above. And this is not a mental thing. This is a revelation that we get as a human being that we need a Savior, that we need a Redeemer, that we cannot save ourselves, and that we hear the good news that Jesus is this Redeemer and has already done it all, and you receive by faith what He's done to save you, and you receive and confess Him as Lord of your life. Well, that's how you get into the family. That's faith. You believe in your heart. You say it with your mouth. But that's not where it ends. You don't go, well, I got my name on the roll now. I'm done. Whew. No, you're just beginning. That's the entrance into a life of faith. And the same way that you got in the family, the same way that you get born again, that's the way you're supposed to live. Everybody say live.
Live.
The just shall live by faith. Are you those justified by faith in the blood? Then this is how you live. Say it out loud. I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome the world.
I overcome the world.
By faith.
By faith.
Now, you know, we say this sometimes at the close of a class, and that's the reason why we're expressing and declaring, reminding ourselves of who we are, what we are. And so being a person of faith, being one saved by faith, living by faith, that means everything that happens, that's your response to everything. Hmm? You get up, you got an ache, you got a pain, you got something that's not quite right. What do? Oh, no.
No.
Huh? That's not what faith people do. Hmm? You got to do something different than what unbelievers do, or else you're not living by faith. Unbelievers gripe, complain, cuss, blame, cry, feel sorry for themselves. Hmm?
Yes.
Is that you?
No.
No. We are faith people.
Amen.
We are believers.
Yes.
So what do? In spite of how you might feel, in spite of how you might look, you begin to say, okay, Lord, what did you say about this? What's the Lord saying to me today about this? What's the Holy Spirit quickening? And if you'll look, the Bible said, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. And if you'll look to Him and ask and check, here it'll come. What for you to say? What for you to declare and decree? And when you start saying, oh no, He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains. By His stripes, I am healed. He is the strength. He is my strength and my portion. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Well, see, unbelievers don't talk this way. No, people who live by what they see and feel, they do not talk this way. And so there should be a radical difference between us and unbelievers. how we think, how we see things, how we act, how we react, how we speak. Where, you know, maybe if you didn't grow up in a home like that. So where are you going to learn things like that? Thank God there's a book. Hallelujah. And that's why we have faith school, right? And you know, good churches and good ministries are things you can come and be a part of. And once you hear it, and once it gets in you, then the Holy Spirit can bring that back to your remembrance whenever you need it, and you start speaking faith. So say it out loud over all of your situations today. Say it out loud, I belong to the Lord.
I belong to the Lord.
I am victorious.
I am victorious.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I'm more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Through Him who loves me.
I'm
getting answers.
I'm getting answers.
All my needs are met.
All my needs are met.
I call my body healed.
I call my body healed.
And strong.
And strong.
And whole.
And whole.
And sound.
And sound.
I can.
Do all things.
Through Christ, who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Now there'll be times you'll be tempted to say, I can't. Or I just don't think I can. Or it doesn't feel like I can. Doesn't look like I can. But that's when you got to bite your lip and say, sure, hush, hush. You don't just want to talk how you feel. You want to use your words to change things. Change the situation. That's how God operates. When He speaks, He's not just venting. He's not just expressing His feelings. When He speaks, things change.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He told us, be an imitator of me. Be a follower of me as a dear child. So, Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of being able to live this wonderful, glorious, powerful, victorious life of faith. We're asking You, Lord, teach us more about it, much, much more about it. Open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our minds, that we may receive much, much, very much about this living by faith and overcoming and pleasing You. We ask for the anointing, revelation, direction, utterance, help and answers for today, and strength and quickening for what's coming tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen. That means so be it. So be it for me. So we have been for a number of weeks now on our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scriptures why we are sure. Did you hear that word?
Yes.
We're not on the fence about it. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. You hear that? You keep hearing the word all.
Yes.
And always. That's all inclusive. Now, I know much of the church going world doesn't believe what I just said. But why do I say that? What's that based on? My opinion? My theory? We're giving one by one 30 great truths from the Word of God with multiple scriptures for each one that prove what I just said, that reveal God as a God of overflowing abundance, a Father who cares about us, a good shepherd who takes care of us, right?
Yes.
That was our first reason of the 30 is Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translations say, I shall not lack. One says, I am never in need. One says, I will always have everything I need. Is that true? Is the 23rd Psalm true?
Yes.
Hmm? But yet you've got a lot of people that they know that. They maybe quote the 23rd Psalm, maybe grew up around the 23rd Psalm, and yet they believe that oftentimes it's God's will to experience lack, that God even uses poverty to teach you things, and that for some mysterious reason that nobody understands, God has ordained that some people be born into abject poverty, even to the point of starving to death, while others have huge riches and we just don't know why. Well, that's not true. poverty is a curse. We spent a number of weeks recently in the class looking at that, talking about that. And if it's a curse, there is no way it's God's will.
That's right.
Huh? No way. The curse is judgment and punishment for disobedience and rebellion and rejecting God. And tell me what the good news is about the curse that we found out. According to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. And if you go back and look, and we did in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, we saw that all kinds of lack and all kinds of being robbed from and loss and not having enough is the curse. Well, are we redeemed or not?
Yes.
You'll hear people singing about being redeemed, and then they'll turn right around and say that, you know, God's causing them to go through a real hard time of lack, you know, and teaching them something. No, God can teach you things without using a curse.
Amen.
Hmm? That's not His perfect will. That's not His plan. And so not just talking about our opinion, but like I said, reason after reason from Scriptures. We looked, number one, at the Lord is my shepherd. We looked at the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven. We looked at the God of Abraham, and we looked at us being the seed of Abraham. We looked at the blessing of tithing, and we looked at honor and riches, that connection. We looked at wisdom and wealth. I mean, when you read through the Proverbs, he keeps saying, if you're a fool, it's going to cost you. Materially and financially and other ways. But with wisdom comes wealth. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Well, the Bible says it's true.
Amen.
Well, then, if I seek God and endeavor to follow His wisdom, and then I find out, yeah, but it's still His will for you to be broke. That's confusing. Because
yes.
It's not true. Then we talked about being imitators of God. We talked about the great I Am in the names of God, how He revealed Himself as Jehovah Jireh, as El Shaddai. And like we said, we couldn't find anything close to El Cheapo, you know, that God wants you broke, or that God... See, people try to portray that God is a God of... minimalism, that he wants you to live a very Spartan life, very minimalist, you know. But, you know, in our recent study on number 19, the tabernacle, man, we saw God wanted gold everywhere, big jewels and the finest and the best of everything. Well, that's how it used to be. When did He change? He didn't. He never has. He never will. And the people who talk like that, I'm not saying they're not saved, but they don't know God very well if they keep talking about He doesn't like fine things or nice things, or He's against anything expensive. They don't know Him very well. Because in the New Testament, He said in 1 Timothy 6, He said, don't trust in riches, but trust in God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, I heard one person say, well, God didn't promise to give you your wants. He just promised to give you His needs. No, you need to keep reading. You didn't finish. Didn't finish the chapter. Didn't finish the book. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you richly things just to enjoy. That's not a basic necessity. That's just something you enjoy. I got a bunch of things at my house. They serve no other purpose except I enjoy them.
Yes.
And I say it plural because I enjoy them a lot.
Yes.
And some things you just enjoy looking at. You just enjoy having it around. Well, is that wrong? Not if you don't put it first. If you don't love it and put it ahead of God, if you put God first, what did He say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said He would add all these things to you. It's not just what you have, it's how you got it. If you lied and stole to get it and hurt people to get it and you lusted and coveted after it and put it ahead of God, well, all that's wrong. Not so much the thing you got, but your heart and the way you went about it. But if you put God first and you don't spend your time dreaming about stuff all the time or loving money or lusting after things, and you put Him first and He adds things to you, these things, His time, His way, that's nothing to hide. That's nothing to be ashamed of. If the Lord added it to you the right way in the right time, it's something to tell people about. It's a testimony. It's something to praise God for. And so we saw that God is also the God of restoration. We saw how He provided in the wilderness in places where there was nothing, proving God can meet your needs anywhere, in any situation. Don't let the devil tell you. One of his favorite phrases is not here or not now. Have you ever noticed this? The enemy will say, well, bring thoughts and feelings to you. Well, you know, maybe God could do it, but not here. And not under these conditions, and not now. And if you buy into that, and you wait, and then later you say, well, how about now? Yeah, what do you think the devil's going to say? No, not yet. No. And if you go to 100 other places, and you say, well, what about here? What do you think the devil's going to say? No, sorry, not here either. No, not here. With him, it's always no, can't do it, not going to happen, won't. Impossible, can't, no. But the Bible said all the promises of God are in Him, yes, and amen, hallelujah. And if you ask God, can it happen here? He'll go, of course. Can it happen now? Well, why not? If God's there, all things are possible. And so we looked at the promised land and how rich of a place that God, He said, you won't lack anything in this rich land. We looked at the covenant blessing. And then, like we said, we looked at being redeemed from the curse. And then our last one that we were on is reason number 19, the tabernacle. And we spent some time looking at that. And what we saw is that God told His people to bring an offering and that they were going to build a tabernacle, which is a tent, a temporary, a portable sanctuary. And He told them, He gave them the specifications for it, and then He told them exactly the materials that He wanted. And He wanted over a ton of pure gold, and He wanted silver, and He wanted the best of the best. And the Bible said that the people brought, they brought gold, they brought silver, they brought the brass and the leathers and the jewels, the diamonds, the rubies, the sapphires. They brought it until the people told Moses and the leaders, they said, we got too much. We already got too much. And they had to restrain the people from bringing and giving because they said the stuff they had was enough and too much. And what we shouted about at the end, that it was a too much offering,
yes,
and a too much tent.
Yes.
And when they finished it, God's glory came over it. And it was too much glory for them to even stand and minister in the beginning. Well, God is a too much God.
Yes.
So when people go, well, that's just too much. Yeah, that's Him. That's Him. And if you don't think so, if you despise it, beware, because you're despising something of God. He is the God of running over. He is the God of more than enough. If you believe it, say, I believe Him. Now, something I want to go on to our 20th reason today, and it attaches to the previous ones. And like we've said before, if you haven't been with us and you haven't heard like about the tabernacle or about all these other things, go online, faithschool.org, faithschool.org. And all of those hundreds of previous lessons on faith are there waiting for you. There's no charge, no cost, no commitment from you, nothing required. It's just available. The Lord, through our partners and those that help us and join with us, underwrite all this. And so it can be available at no charge. Take advantage of it. Feed on it. Get caught up. And what we're saying, talking about now is attached to the previous one. And that is this. These people brought, we saw just the gold and silver was some $156 million in today's money for a portable tent. And this is God's specification. That's what he wanted. Couldn't you have saved a lot of money by going with less expensive materials? But that's God's choice. And if you don't think so, you just don't know him. This is him. He hasn't changed. But the question is, these people that brought all this gold, you can't give what you don't have. Right? In order to give a ton of gold, somebody had to have some gold. Right? Throughout this congregation, and they brought it until you getting a ton of gold wasn't a problem. And this is God's plan. This is his will and his way. He could do it without using a bunch of people. But that's not his way. In most cases, he wants to use a bunch of people so that a bunch of people get the opportunity. And they get to have a part of it. And then they get to have a part of the results and a part of the reward. And in the things of God, it's an eternal reward. But you got to back up and remember that it hasn't been, what, months since these people were slaves. Right? These people just got delivered out of Egyptian bondage and slavery after 400 some years of bondage. This goes back to their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And you know that these slave people didn't have big piles of gold, right? In the shacks or tents they lived in. They were under cared for. They were overworked. They were mistreated. And especially, you know, leading up to their deliverance, the scripture talks about how that Pharaoh took away their straw for making bricks and then it required them to produce the same amount every day. And if they didn't, they were beaten. They were whipped. They were not a strong or a wealthy people or a powerful people. They're slaves. But look back in Psalm 105. Psalm 105 tells us about a miraculous transformation that occurred when God brought them out. In Psalm 105 and 37, talking about God, he brought them forth also with what?
Silver
and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Why mention that they had silver and gold? Well, God's smart. He knew when we start reading about this tabernacle and all this gold, we're going to think, where did this gold come from? This is where it came from. God brought them out. Now, something we have to keep reminding ourselves too is like 1 Corinthians 10 says, all these things that happened to them are types and examples for us. The scripture says. And so we should understand that the bondage they were in Egypt, is a type of being apart from God and in bondage, apart from the covenant, apart from eternal life. And it's and them being delivered out of slavery and bondage and death, and even coming through the Red Sea. And coming through on the other side is a type of being born again and baptism and deliverance. Hallelujah. Yeah, but don't leave off this part. As soon as they were brought out of death and bondage and brought into freedom and deliverance, God healed their bodies and put money in their pockets. Glory to God. Is he still this God? Is he still this God? Well, you think about it. The moment you get born again. Okay, you see, got born again yesterday. You went to the altar, you got saved, or whatever the case was, how you did it. But you're no longer lost. You're no longer separated from God. You're no longer going to hell. You're no longer going to be judged for your sins. You are free. Yes. You are saved. Yes. You are clean. Yes. You are washed. On your way to heaven. Yes. But you won't get there for another 65 years or 70 years or whatever. So what about in the meantime? What about between now and then? Are we supposed to just while away the days waiting until we die and go to heaven? Or does God have a job for every believer to help go into all the world and preach the good news? Build the church. Reach many others to be saved like you were. Well, what do you need for that? Not everybody's supposed to be a preacher, but everybody's supposed to have part of this somehow. What do you need for that? You need health. If you're so sick, you can't leave the house, how can you help anybody? How can you work at any church or ministry? Or you need health. And so there was not one feeble person among their tribes. And we're talking millions of people. And you could have gone through the whole mass of them and not found one feeble. Not one. Can God still do that today? Could God cause a whole church to be healed? Huh? A whole family. Yes, it's His will. It's His plan. But let's say, okay, you're saved and your body's doing good and you're able to go, you're able to do, but you don't have enough money to get a tank of gas. You can't leave the subdivision. you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. See, if the enemy's got enough sickness in your life, he's still got you in jail. Can you see that? He's still got you bound. And if he's got enough poverty in your life, he still got you bound and limited where you can't go, you can't do. Oh, but if you're saved and you're healed and you're strong and you feel good and you got plenty of money, you got God, you got healing, you got money, let's go. Is that right? You are ready to be used of God and accomplish many, many good things. How does it help anybody for me to be sick? It doesn't help you for me to be sick. It doesn't help you for me to be broke, right? And it helps nobody for the church to be broke. And my time's up today. Said out loud,
I believe
in a good God,
a God
of abundance,
a healing God,
a blessing God,
a providing God
is my God. Hallelujah. Don't forget it. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.